This is part two of the Hilda season one deep dive.
So then we go to chapter seven, The Lost Clan.
The story of elves, dragons, water spirits, and contract law. So again, you have the standard Sparrow Scout badge hunt set up.
So the scout badges are a surprisingly great plot device for setting up these adventures. They're very low level objective they have to achieve,
which rapidly the stakes escalate as it goes on.
Yeah. So when trying to gather this rare plant, they're subject to the cutest, most adorable attack I've ever seen, I think.
First time since the first couple of episodes that they've actually come under direct attack from elves again.
Yeah.
But these aren't your average elves.
So we're learning a lot about this elf society.
I love it.
Not only do they have a prime minister with his own political pressures, a king, different societies, they also have this breakaway group of elves who have like tensions with the main group of elves we saw. And it's just brilliantly labyrinth, I think. And they're kind of like tough. They're tough, like outlanders, but who ride bunnies as a steed. So I have to repeat that again. I mean, it's so
absolutely
great.
Adorable.
And then the whole backstory around how they came to be there is fantastic, I think.
Yes, the history of them. And Hilda being Hilda, of course, is going to set out to try and resolve that contractual problem.
Yeah, and it's really cute seeing like David like tied down with ropes and like he just raises the stakes in an adorably cute low level way, I think.
Yeah.
I made quite a lot of notes here, like, you know, given my obsession with contracts. I loved how the whole cultural divide and breakaway was over a real estate contract.
That is so, so Hilda elf.
I think Alpha was on absolute fire this episode. What did I write down? A masterwork of mutual obligation was probably my favourite line from the episode.
Yeah, Alpha definitely shined.
And they'd only signed twice with treble exclamation marks to show how that line was delivered in the episode. They'd only signed twice. Very fair point. I relate to it. So I love that. It was just really funny. It was just funny, basically, that the whole reason why that came to be. I thought it's very charming.
And when they set out to resolve it by having the contract annulled in the only way it can be, we get the wonderful thing with them running into a water spirit, which is a nice introduction to something that becomes a lot more of a thing going on with the various spirits.
I mean, it's a lot more it's a much more enjoyable way to avoid a contract than the standard termination letter, to be fair. Like, I thought
gotta go and find the dragon that can burn it for you.
It makes you treat a contract seriously, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a recurring theme, we have the situation where the only way to actually resolve the problem they're facing is to give up the thing that would get them the Sparrow Scout badge.
Yeah.
The whole thing they were in this for in the first place.
I mean, and it's kind of at the point where Hilda doesn't mind that so much at this stage. She's still like in the adventuring mode thing, I think. And it only like kind of dawns later on about the importance of the badges. I guess her heart's in the right place, isn't it?
I mean, I think resolving an issue for an entire society of people is probably more important than a badge.
I guess when you put it that way, Amy, that's a fair way to summarise it.
Although in the end, of course, the Lost Clan decide they actually quite like how they're living now.
And there's a nice little wrap up, isn't there, where they have a meal and a party together and Alpha still finds it most unorthodox. But showing the free spirit has its advantages too. So it's kind of like a lighter episode, but very charming and funny and willing to throw in all those disparate elements that you mentioned before. So an enjoyable one, I felt.
Yeah, which brings us on to episode 8, The Tide Mice. I really like this one.
Ditto. Yeah, you go first.
So at the start of it, David's not doing too well with auditions.
Understatement.
Yeah. What is it with him and bugs? He really has really bad luck with bugs.
It kind of like weirdly reminded me of Butters from South Park.
And
destroying the building. I mean, it didn't go to that extent or become that bloody, but you know, it's a good joke, I think. They're not even making it to the microphone.
But then coincidentally, like Hilda and Frida being great and supportive to him, but then coincidentally Hilda runs across something at the library, discovering that the librarian has a whole secret library in the library full of books on witchcraft. This is absolutely not going to go poorly at all. She gets the idea to help him through enchantment. And of course, the librarian points out to her that no, these books are only for reference, you're not to take them with you. But Hilda, of course, is like, oh, well, just photocopy the book, photocopy the pages, it'll be fine. It is not fine.
I mean, at this point of the episode, there's a lot of things I love. You know, firstly, the validation that of the truth that we all secretly know, that all libraries have a secret room dedicated to witchcraft.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Secondly, just little touches like the despite the magical elements, the reference to library etiquette about there only being for reference, and then when Hilda photocopies a page, it even you've already got a sense of dread about what's going to happen. But then when the photocopier spews out like magic, like elements, or whatever, like
if this will be fine, this will all be fine.
It's great.
And then so she discovers a way to enchant mice using tide pools, and the mice will bring success to people. And it works really well. David's incredible singing voice is able to go ahead at the audition unimpeded. And we see how poorly Joanna is actually doing currently in Trollberg, because her life's not going so great there either.
Mm-hmm.
She's stuck in. She's doing such a good job of putting up with just one of the worst jobs.
Yeah, and you can see all the hassle she gets, basically. And
Hilda wants to get her out of that. Yeah. And so Hilda does the generous thing, caring about her, and enchants another tide mouse. And this is all fine. And everyone's successful and happy. And nothing bad happens, and that's the end of the episode. This is an episode of Hilda.
I mean, anything with witchcraft, like, always has something that'll go wrong, I think. I mean,
I love how when they start realizing everything goes wrong, though, I love how Alpha once again gets to shine.
Yeah. My favorite quote from him being, never, ever ignore a footnote.
Yes, because Hilda skipped the footnotes.
The contracts are quite a big theme when I look back about the series. It's really cute. Like, oh, I didn't focus on the second page or the footnotes or the references. I just did the spell.
And then they discover the slight bit of small print they missed about Hilda stealing the souls of the people she enchanted.
Bit of a biggie. And it's just like, you kind of have that realisation too, where from Hilda's perspective, she sees all these things going well. Like even the mouse, like swatting away a fly before it enters David's mouth, I thought was really cute.
Yeah, that was a lovely one.
But then Frida says, oh yeah, but he just, his eyes glow sometimes. He's clearly possessed by something. Like have you not seen those worrying signs?
Yeah, which leads to wonderful stuff in the mad dash in order to cast the spell to remove the enchantment towards the end. When Joanna's like driving them, and you can see it just starts happening to them, and she just veers off the road because she's doing the weird soul sucky thing.
Weird soul sucky thing, yeah, for sure. It's a really 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 fun episode. I think it's fair to say. It's got a bit of everything, really. Yeah.
But in the end, they do manage to, right in the nick of time, cast the disenchantment, and then right at the end, Hilda almost forgets the last step of breaking the spell. But luckily, she feeds the tide mice, and it's all fine, and there will be no future consequences. Don't think about it. It's fine.
So set that up nicely, for sure. And it's got that kind of dynamic which we see at other times where she does care about her friends and mother, but there's definitely a self-interest, like adventure element, I think, throwing herself in there.
She really wants to be the hero, and she does things that cause problems because she doesn't think about it when she's doing that. Also, I love the thing about the job that she manages to land her mother in this, because it's all really neatly setting up stuff that won't have payoff until season two, and that was a really nice touch.
Yeah.
The stuff with the bells.
I came across a lot in the rewatch, for sure.
There's so much that they were just setting in motion for later,
which you won't notice on your first watch.
There's no way you would notice it the first time round. You do notice it if you've really binged the show the two seasons back to back. You notice it. But you only notice it, like, you'll be like, oh, that episode that I watched, like, 3 hours ago. That had a thing that shows up in this episode.
Like, there's an odd comparison. Like, we watched Disenchantment recently, and there's 1 minute in the middle of episode one that teases what happens in season three. That is blinking, you'll miss it, and it's genius. But I think Hilda's a bit different in that, like, every episode has, like, little touches I have throughout, hinting at what's happening, and it's great. Well, it's kind of like Disenchantment that way. That's got a similar vibe too. I just love it when, like, I feel dumb watching it because the writers are so much smarter than me. But like, I just like that feeling.
Disenchantment. I'm gonna disagree with you. I think Disenchantment really has a problem with retreading the same ground too much, whereas Hilda feels like it's constantly moving forwards.
I felt season three broke out of that mold successfully.
Season three got out of that, yes. Season three felt a lot closer to what Hilda feels like.
Yeah, but I think Hilda's good at keeping momentum going, for sure. And that kind of comes across in the next two episodes, actually.
Yeah, so chapter 9, The Ghost.
I love the setup of this. I think the setup of the ghost is fantastic.
Frida has suddenly some kind of poltergeist.
I did not predict why her room was getting messy.
It's wonderful.
Very clever. Yeah.
when they set everything up and record it, and when they realise it was Frida who messed the room up, and then you don't see the plot twist coming, when that's not the plot twist. I loved that.
Yeah, you're totally right. It wasn't even so much her doing that, because like there's been things before where someone's possessed or they're doing it in the sleep or something, but thinking that's normal.
Because she has a reverse poltergeist.
Yeah, like you mess up your room and then it's tidy in the morning, of course. It's like, no, that's not what normally happens.
But that's what she's always known all her life.
It's probably my favourite setup of the series, I think, was that opening. I thought that was great. I loved that.
And when you find out what's actually going on, I love how that sets up stuff that's going to persist through the remaining episodes of the season.
Hmm. It goes places, doesn't it? Like this box off.
What once you find out about the book, and that's why the ghost was coming there and was tidying the place up, and that's not resolved by the end of the episode. Everything they go through to try and get the book, when they go around raising all the dead in the cemetery. And then even at the end of all that, when they resolve all the ghost problems, it's not the right book.
Yeah. And
you never find out in that episode what happened to it. And you won't find out for ages.
And I like that. And if anything, I like them doing more and more of that. Maybe they do a little bit more of that in season two, arguably. And maybe that's why I kind of like season two even more. Like I like that kind of thing where I set up things and you feel you get a proper payoff later on.
But yeah, the whole thing there is, it also sets up like more character development for Frida, because suddenly she's thrust into this situation where suddenly there's more stuff on top of her and she's having less time for things, and that's going to be a plot point over the coming episodes as well.
And that was well done, I thought.
Mm.
And that it just gave it a little bit more of a narrative drive and like an edge to it, I felt, which was good for the show. Yeah. But it's sad as well. I don't like them falling out.
Well then, if we don't want them falling out, we should move on towards eventually them making up. So how about chapter 10, the storm? We've all had a day like that, right, where we're all stuck in as the weather just keeps getting worse.
For sure. I mean, what I liked about this too is I only noticed this on the rewatch, that the whole accuracy of the weather and the person forecasting it is shown late earlier on in the series, which I had
You have Victoria Van Gale on the radio in earlier episodes, and she's always correctly getting the weather right.
And it makes total sense how she's getting the weather right when they explain it.
Yeah,
I mean, and what's quite nice as well is like this episode and the one after it. I mean, it's sad about what's happened with Hilda and Frida, but it's good that they change up the dynamics of who's involved sometimes, I think. And it leads...
Yeah.
And it just gives you a different flavour and a different kind of humour each time, I think. And it just gets less repetitive, to be frank.
And it means you get to have more time with other characters. Like, you get to have some Hilda and David stuff. And
vice versa, too. Like, in season two, I think Frida and Hilda have one of my favourite episodes of the whole series together. Where it just focuses on them too, but of course that'll be covered in a future episode.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, one of my other notes was this whole episode scared me. I'm scared of heights. I don't like being dropped off a massive mountain and an observatory at the top. I thought, like, you know, flying around these like storms and things, I think there's a lot of high stakes. Plus, the unstable nature of the I don't remember her name, but where the woman's like a character, which is like kind of the first, like kind of, not the first, but like one of the most like clearly like dark, like darker characters kind of thing in terms of what they're going through.
I like that she's not set up that way at first, though.
Yeah. It's a nice reveal.
She's all cheerful and bubbly and offering them stuff from the gift shop.
And coffee. Lots of coffee. Remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Which might be a hint that something's going on. But yeah, also I like that this episode brings back our friend from chapter 3.
The Great Raven, of course. Yeah. That works nicely. Yeah, it's just nice to have those little, like, those character recurrences.
And they set that up as well. They set that up as well, of course, in this episode for a future one.
Yeah. The character of the clouds arguing with each other and that recurrence, like, that works really well, I think.
I am glad that Victoria Van Gale comes back later.
Yeah. That's a great episode, for sure. So, you know, that's great. And what I like as well is, like, that kind of issue's resolved, which is great, but then Hilda just doesn't end up where she's meant to be.
I love the thing with the spirits where she... I love the fact that she goes up and deals with all the stuff with the spirits by talking to them, and everything seems resolved. And then we get a repeat of the situation from the Troll Rock episode, because one of the spirits remembers why they were there in the first place, and you get the complete destruction at the end. And yeah, Hilda ends up back where she wanted to be, in a way.
But having gone through so much, and immediately makes you want to watch the next episode. I think that works really well. I think when season 3 comes back and the movie and things, like, they should do as much of that as they can. Like, just keep moving forward, keep changing up the dynamics. I love that kind of thing. I think that's a good episode, the Storm one, but I think I probably prefer the next one even more, really.
The House in the Woods.
Yeah.
I mean, it has the Woodman back, so that's always going to be a thing. That's gonna draw you in. And I love how Hilda bumps into him in the woods and is just playing a card game with some elves and then just loses her in the card game.
it's a nice little twist.
I love Hilda's reaction where she's just like laughing it off and like, oh, which of you little guys gets to take me home? And then it's the forest giant that sat next to them that, again, she didn't even notice.
I love that there's a little callback later on where she's like, oh, you lost me on purpose. He says, what, do you think I go all in on a pair of threes? I thought that was great. I mean...
And that actually sets up nicely a second season episode where he does win a card game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the dynamics with the Woodman are great because it's kind of like he cares about her.
He's completely unashamed of being a thief.
Yeah, exactly. And there's always self-interest and, like, you don't know where you stand with him, which makes for brilliantly, like, volatile.
Oh, I think you know where you stand with him.
Well, okay, in a bad way, but yeah.
And yeah, they have the whole situation of trying to rob the giant. And as they're fleeing, they end up in the main place for this episode.
Yeah, what did you make of this, the actual...
It's a cosy little house in the woods. I like how it slowly dawns on you as a viewer as well as them.
Yeah.
What exactly the nature of this place is.
For sure. It's pretty, you know, I was terrified of the heights and the isolation and the destruction of the episode before. I mean, this is pretty terrifying as well, to be stuck in a house you can't get out of.
I love that earlier on as well. You have the whole thing where she sends the email.
The elf mail. That's a good detail, like, we should have mentioned, you're right.
And the whole way over the course, while all of this is happening, that's being delivered, and you finally get the scene where it gets there, and Alpha's desperately trying to get it read out, and they're worrying about what's happened to Hilda, and that was a lovely scene.
That was great, wasn't it? And just the amount of coordination for, like, that, you know, this owl to fly off with it and these cute creatures, it's fantastic.
Yeah. And the bit at the end, it's just so funny where he's just desperately, you have this nice little light-hearted scene in the middle of the episode where he's just desperately trying to show the letter and, like, constantly getting swept aside. But eventually, a rescue party is on the way to get them out.
Mm.
And then, unfortunately, they come into the house and the door shuts behind them and they're stuck there as well.
Yeah, classic. Classic scrapes, I think.
I do love how they beat the house, though. That was nice.
Yeah, and it just had that immediate payoff of immediately getting back, I think.
And the house just... Yeah, I love when they're just each of them trying to think up something that they want that the house can produce, and I try to think of more and more things, and you get things unique to each character for what they want.
Yeah.
Or what they can imagine.
There's a lot of great elements in it, I think, and it goes a lot of places, like, just in one short episode, so I think that's a really good one. The next episode, Nisa.
Yeah.
Right.
This is bringing us back round for the finale to another two-part story.
So certain things I love in media, like this is one of my notes, was like time travel, which isn't covered this season, but things with time travel, I love. Things with portals, the multi-dimensions and things, I also love. So, like, the second box is really well ticked by this episode from my point of view.
What about very direct and in-your-face analogies for homeless people?
True. I mean, it's a sad topic for sure, but...
And how they're treated by society, because this episode's pretty on the nose.
I mean, even see, you know, Johanna is very dismissive of one of the Nissas.
If he's been kicked out of his house, then clearly he must have done something wrong.
Yeah, and we've already established by then she's a very caring, likable character, and even she has that attitude, which is very telling, I think.
Yeah, there are some attitudes that are really socially ingrained, no matter how nice of a person someone might be.
So that little reference is the reference to that kind of wider, like, very sad, like, very real situation is, like, nicely done, I think, in the context of the show.
So the way everything's going, you have at this point, there's news going about some kind of monster, some kind of beast that's being seen around Trollberg.
Yeah.
At the same time, you've got the dynamic between Hilda and her friends, because you have this situation where Frida started hanging out with other people, and the bit where they show up at Frida's house. So at this point, we're at the stage where it's coming up on the big Sparrow Scout badge ceremony, where they're all going to get their badges. And what's Hilda been getting up to all of this time with all these adventures? What's she not been having time for?
Well, to paraphrase David, like, how have you not gotten a badge, like, in this time?
what have you been doing, like, to not get any badges? Hanging out with you.
I mean, I think your summary there, like, nicely references lots of different plot strands and references and things.
And so many things come together here. Yeah. And so you have the scene where the two of them show up at Frida's to try and get Frida to hang out with him and maybe do something. And oof.
Yeah. Painful.
The bit where Frida's with her new friend tells them, like, now me and Kelly are going to go and do something. And then she steps outside, like, are you coming? And like, Hilda and Dave are like, well, I guess we could come. And she's like, no, are you coming out of my house? I need to lock the door.
Brutal.
It's just like, yeah. oof.
And then, like, when Hilda says, well, David, what should we do? And looks up and David's walked off. Like,
yeah.
It's just the crushing loneliness and sadness. And, yeah.
Which explains how she ends up in that situation of trying to help out this Nyssa she met. So the Nyssa are little spirit people who live in people's houses. There's always a Nyssa in someone's house, and they just hang around in all the spaces, or all the space that isn't used for anything, like down the back of shelves and stuff.
Mm.
And Hilda, of course, is like, oh, well, you should come and live in my house. I'm pretty sure we don't have a Nyssa there.
I'd know about it if we did. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, Hilda's, like, supreme confidence in herself and being wrong.
Common themes. Yeah. I mean, it's this whole, like, idea, like, that there is a creature in your house, like, hiding all this stuff that gets lost down the sofa and things. Like, very, super relatable.
Now, the moment you heard about this, the moment this was explained to you, did you think what I immediately thought? Because my mind immediately went to one thing which does become relevant later on. My mind immediately went to Frida's missing book.
Yeah, that's just yet another thing that's brought back. That makes so much sense. I mean, I can't remember.
As soon as you realise the Nyssa exists, you're like, oh.
I can't remember if I can't remember if the first time I saw it, I picked that up. But that's great. That's great, isn't it? Like, how they do that. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so Hilda tries to bring this Nyssa Tontu back to her house. And, always with Hilda's best of intentions going horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Because, naturally, they go into the nowhere space in the house through the little portals. They find a bunch of things that Hilda and Joanna have lost. And then they find the Nyssa who lives there, who isn't happy to see Tontu. Which leads to a massive fight between them, which absolutely trashes Hilda's house.
Amazing fighting, yeah.
Yeah, just in time for Joanna to walk in and see Tontu standing in the middle of the room and the whole room trashed. And you really feel for Tontu at this point, because, like, this is what Tontu explained happened with the last house. Like, something happened that trashed the house. And he got blamed for it.
Yeah.
And you've just seen this happen again.
And it's kind of like, it's clever from a plot point of view. And but it's quite funny as well, the fight they have. Like, just being quite a deep, dark issue. It is quite funny, like, the way it's done.
Yeah. It's definitely an entertaining scene. And so eventually Hilda and David set out to actually get Hilda one badge this year. Just one badge, which is the camping badge.
Lesser. Yeah.
So they go on the camping trip. And of course, the whole time you've got Joanna worrying about this mysterious beast that's roaming about. But the scout leader assures her, like, the woods they're going in are absolutely safe. And they go on the camping trip. And, of course, what does Hilda do? wanders off.
One of my favourite bits was when they all go back at the end of the night to bed, and they're all looking desperately for David and Hilda. Hilda says, "Oh, there you are. We were looking all over."
Yeah, we were looking all over for you.
And,
yeah,
and just the camp leaders, like you know, what's the word? Like,
just so exasperated.
Exasperated, like questioning expression is great, I think.
But yeah, while they're off, they find Tontu living in the woods, and they're like, "Oh, we'll come back and give you some of our snacks," because Joanna, being absolutely lovely, fully loaded Hilda down with snacks. And side note, a bunch of the snacks went missing.
Yeah,
I wonder where they went. And Joanna, continuing to be lovely, after those snacks went missing, that who knows what happened to them, right? Joanna goes out again to get more snacks, which, such a good mother. I love her. She's wonderful.
She's a bit of a snack fiend too, I think it's fair to say. But yeah,
she is, yeah.
She is lovely.
She just, the thing is, I think the one, if there's one character flaw she has, it's that standard thing so many parents do of like trying to project their sort of like desires and enjoyments onto their kids. So like Hilda's quite clear she doesn't need more snacks. Just like, you know, just like Joanna's so like excited for Hilda getting all these badges, because she got so many badges when she was a Sparrow Scout. And it's just like, ooh, because yeah, she's clearly projecting so much onto Hilda there. If she has one flaw as a parent, it is that, and I think so many parents have that.
I was about to say, I think I'm sure I have that to an extent. I don't know, but like I think that's quite relatable. Not to justify, of course.
But yeah, so they end up heading out into the woods after everyone's gone to bed to give Tontu those snacks. And of course they get lost, but eventually they spot a fire in the distance. And just have here in my notes, big capital letters, "My girls are back." Because my girls are back and Frida is hanging out with them.
They got the teenage antagonist from earlier in the season as part of the group in this little tub.
They find the little Mara group all hanging around.
Yeah.
By a campfire, telling stories of all the nightmares they've been giving everyone. I love this like little insight into how they work though, where they'll tell the stories around the fire and create the big green, like using the same sort of green smoke they have when they're teleporting, and they'll show the nightmares to each other, and then they suck in all of the green smoke there.
Yeah, that's nicely done, isn't it?
And I'm just like, a bunch of teenagers inhaling a bunch of smoke around a campfire in the woods. I've not seen that before.
Well, I didn't think of that.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, there's some allegory here.
Would they go there? Wow.
I mean, I have to say I have definitely been with that group of teenagers in the woods.
Mm.
That was absolutely a thing when I was that sort of age. But yeah, the fact that Frida's with them and like she's doing this with them and But yeah, I do love these girls, like in an absolutely like, oh, they're, you know, they're clearly absolutely terrible, but they make for such good characters.
Yeah, for sure.
And I love the bit that comes next where, after David's shown up and knocked Hilda out of the bushes into sight, and the Mara who was giving him nightmares starts telling all the other girls about that, and then after they try and persuade Frida to come back with them, but she's like reluctant and staying with the Mara girls, who are like talking about what a good Mara she's going to make someday. And ooh, absolute chills, that whole scene. And then David does something unexpected.
He does one of his bravest moments, really, his speech. There's like great character development and great, but also it's very funny as well when you realize.
I love the framing on it.
Yeah,
the framing on it where they're backing off as he's getting more and more angry and going more and more into this speech, and they're like shrinking away.
Yeah.
And that's just absolutely superb when you finally realize why that's happening. And then, of course, we see the beast behind him, which is such a great little cliffhanger ending for a two-parter.
Once again, you have to see the next bit, don't you? The way they leave it.
Yeah. Which takes us directly into the final chapter, The Black Hound.
I think what's in random aside, like the camp leader says, oh, it's totally safe, but they have like an alarm ready to like get everyone.
They have an evacuation protocol, which honestly, like, no matter how safe you think something is, it's always good to have something set up if it turns out not to be safe. That's just good health and safety.
True, true.
That makes it safe.
And it got some nice character moments, like Frida helping David pack his sleeping bag, you know. And just the kind of tension between them. And
before that escape, though, I love the bit in the forest where the Mara just show exactly what they're like when they're running away, because it's very much the whole situation of, yeah, I don't have to run faster than it, I just need to run faster than you.
Teenagers, eh?
Which does help to sort of shove Frida back into like needing to stick with the other two.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's, and it kind of gets things in motion, I think, plot wise too. So it's needed for the episode, really, but it works really well. But it's quite nice to see them start to mend the bridges and in the ways together. And it totally justifies Johanna's like fear about this creature, that it was actually there. Despite all that, though, the badge ceremony is still the major tension I had when watching it about whether she get a badge in time.
The thing sort of that they try to do as an activity together to like re-establish those bonds with Frida and the group. Frida's like, okay, I'll help you get at least one badge. And the next day they go to do collections for the jumble sale. And you get another nice scene where they bump into Kelly, the Mara girl.
Yeah.
And Kelly's mother's about to give away her favourite stuffed toy, Fluff Bun, like her favourite little cuddly toy. And yeah, Frida's like, no, and gets it and gives it back to her. And there's that lovely line about not throwing away your real friends.
It's a nice little photo. Yeah, it's a lovely line.
It's a really nice moment that really, like, it also helps to humanise some of the monsters of this show.
You forget that they are just, like, ordinary people, like, these antagonists, for sure. So I think that works really well. On that level two, I agree with you.
Yeah. And then, of course, Hilda spots Tontu and goes chasing after. And, yeah, Frida reminds her, just make sure you're there in time to get credit for the badge. But, yeah, Hilda bumps into this Nissa, who responds when she shouts Tontu. But that's where she finds out the most confusing thing, that all the Nissa are called Tontu. which I thought was a really great reveal when that one turns around and is like, yes, and is clearly a different Nyssa. That was brilliant.
She very justifiably says it is super confusing.
And then she spends the whole day finding out how many Nyssa there are that are homeless, with exactly the same story of how they became homeless.
And the whole time watching it, I'm thinking, it's sweet and it's the right thing to do, but please leave yourself enough time.
Yeah, and I do love how, like, you even have this thing, which I think says a lot about people as well, how, like, how much a lack of trust really hurts everyone. Because all the Nyssa are like, well, all these other Nyssa must be lying, but I'm telling the truth. Yeah. And it's like, the same thing happened to all of you. Again, social commentary.
Yeah, it's very well done, isn't it?
And of course, yeah, as you were saying, leave enough time for yourself, Hilda. And she doesn't.
It's just, it's heartbreaking. Like her, knowing how disappointed. Yeah, and like her knowing how disappointed her mum will be and feeling like shamed kind of thing. Like, I was super identified with that and thought, like, I really felt for her in that moment.
So much, yeah.
And they don't shy away from that. You kind of expect, at least the first time I was watching it, that something will happen, like an interruption, and it does, but only after that moment happens, and you have those reactions, and like as you said earlier, the feels.
Yeah.
And just a little exchange of looks between them, like when she says that's the end of the badges.
Yeah. Ooh, and then Alpha figures something out, thanks to the description of the hound.
Yeah, says that.
Something which I'm going to say I also figured out because I'm a massive nerd.
Okay.
I was fairly clued into what the hound was.
I wasn't, but I'm a dunce when watching these things, so.
I think it's just because I'm, like, so into stuff like this. Yeah, it's a bar guest.
It's always nice to have an excuse to bring in Alpha as well, I think.
Mm.
And there's a great, like, chase scene as well, isn't there? That fairly rapidly envelops.
Well, I love how it kicks off at the scout hall, because of course Hilda still needs to go there for the badge ceremony, and brings along Tontu because she's like, well, maybe the nowhere space in the scout hall doesn't have a Nyssa, and so Tontu goes to check it out while the badge ceremony's going on, and as the leader's going across all the scouts. And, like, giving them their badges.
Yeah.
And Joanna's sitting watching. And, the looks between Joanna and Hilda.
They're crushing. It's so, so sad. Yeah.
But then, of course, something else crushes everyone in the room.
Literally.
because Tontu finds something in nowhere space. The hound.
Like, they think about, they really do think about on the writing staff, like, about what is the most spectacular, best way we can resolve this. They think that for every episode. That's probably one of my favourite, probably maybe my favourite action scene in this season one, at least.
The chase is really good. Oh, just fantastic. Bouncing from house to house through all of these different sets from other episodes of the show. And through all the nowhere space in them. And I love how when they go through Frida's house, the payoff going all the way back there to episode 9, Hilda finds the missing book and puts it back in Frida's room.
And the show's setting it up so I really, really care about this flickering return to Skeleton Whisperer.
Yeah.
It's just a little moment, and then back to amazing action scene, yeah.
Yeah, And as this whole chase just continues through until they make it to Hilda's house, where Hilda's Nissa shows up, and we get a really sweet scene.
Jelly bean.
Hmm.
Like, not only do you get the little reveal of the dog being really cute, being called Jelly Bean, like, just caps it off.
Yeah, the fact that this bar guest is called Jelly Bean.
and this lovely, and Hilda's like, oh, and here's how I solved it. This is how I worked it out. This is why it makes sense. Like a murder mystery, like, parlor room, like, reveal kind of thing. That's great.
And here's a little reminder. Puppies are adorable, but they do grow up.
And then you got another great action.
Another chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the best moment for me, although as I say, I'm totally biased because I love like different dimensions and portals and things. But like when to escape the car has to float through this like forbidden realm.
Yeah.
That is just such a cool visual. And such a
I love how they set up the stuff with the nowhere space of the outside world and the fact that it's this massive, massive expanse because so there's just so much of it and it's terrifying even to the Nissa.
As you perfectly said, like the ramifications of it and the reaction to it to show that is amazing. And they don't shy away from, like, you know, totally trashing their car, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, they do manage to get the bar guests out of the city. And, yeah, Jellybean and Hilda's house is Nissa. They go off into the distance and I hope live happily ever after. And that nicely sets it up so that there's some empty nowhere space in Hilda's house.
Yeah. It's a lovely doubleheader to end it, I think, the season. It works really well.
Yeah.
And it kind
of... And of course...
Yeah.
Of course, you have a nice little thing that brings it right back to the beginning at the end as well. Where Jellybean and the Nissa end up coming across Hilda's old house, and the woodman explains what happened there.
Yeah, that works really well. So all in all, fantastic season, as you can tell.
Such from a good season.
Of praise. Having said that, I mean, I think season two probably rates higher in my eyes.
Interesting. I don't know. I might prefer season one.
Ooh.
That's going to be interesting going off of season two. I mean, it's consistently good. It's not something that ever really has much in the way of low points.
Yeah, I agree.
It's always consistently good.
I mean,
I think I like certain episodes more in season one.
I think it's all down to personal preference, really. I think, as you said, the quality is extremely high. The love and care that went into making the show is fantastic. It's just great. There's more musical, maybe there's some more like musical cameos and things I like in season two as well. That's kind of the main differences and some of the ways to go. But we'll talk about that in the next episode for sure.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it next. But overall for this season, solid character development, excellent storylines running both the short, like single episodic ones, and the overarching storylines that run through all those episodes. Really, really strong season. Very good start for the show.
Fantastic. And with the promise of more to come, very good. Well, I've really enjoyed that. Thanks for discussing with me, Amy. And season two still coming up, still to come in the future. So, let us know what you thought if you've seen the show. And take care, everyone. Bye from me.
And bye from me. Until the next one.